This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. Throughout the month of March, we've been talking about and with a number of women who have made significant contributions to the health, well-being, and quality of life in our community. As we conclude Women's History Month today, we're going to bring you another of those voices on this week's edition of Issues of the Environment. Today, we take time to honor the life and work of Janice Bobrin. Before stepping down in 2012, Janice served 24 years as the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner. She was reelected to that position 5 times. She's been applauded for advancing sustainable stormwater practices and effectively promoting public education and water stewardship in the county and well beyond. And be rest assured, just because she's no longer in that position, it doesn't mean she's not continuing to work toward positive community impact today. Janice, thank you so much for making time for us.
Oh, David, it's an honor to be with you.
I want to step back, if you don't mind, to the year 1969 for a moment. That was the year you entered the University of Michigan. And by the time you were done with college, you had a master's degree in urban planning. I'm just curious as to how prevalent women were in that program at that time.
Well, David, 1969, yeah. Now that everybody knows how old I am, my undergraduate degree was history, and my graduate degree was urban planning. I'd say at least half of us were women, so it's always been a field that attracted progressive individuals. The student body and the faculty was very diverse, racially and gender. And I think it still is. It's just, it's a progressive field.
Who were the women in your life, either close or from afar, that inspired you and helped you reject any notion of limitation in your life choices?
That's an interesting question. I'm going to give you a different answer. I have to start out by saying my father's really the force that told me, you can do whatever you want. And so I just grew up with that as the message. But then women who inspired me, well, a couple people who come to mind, one who just passed away not too long ago, a woman named Peggy Johnson, who ran the Clinton River Watershed Council for years and years and years. Her background is more interesting than we have time for, but she was an inspiration both in the environment and in the fact that she had a goal, she achieved it. She was never intimidated by important male politicians or, you know, and I knew her a long time when I was at SEMCOG. So that's one person who comes to mind. By the time I got involved in politics, of course, Lana Pollock was just a terrific inspiration to me because moving to when I actually ran for office, Lana was running for election at the time and was willing to carry my literature, which was just such an honor and a big deal in 1989 to have Lana behind me. And then I followed her whole career in the legislature and what she has managed to accomplish. And she's still a mentor, I think, to all women who are involved in the environment.
Earth Day began on the campus of the University of Michigan and in Ann Arbor, and that was why you were a student there as well. Did that movement help shape your kind of vision of what the future should be?
Not at all. It did not. You know, back at the time that I decided to go to graduate school in urban planning, there was a program called Model Cities, and I'm going way back, Lyndon Johnson, Great Society, and I was really involved in and interested in social change and seeing inner cities empowered and the people able to make a difference in their own lives. So I was somewhat different focused when I was an undergrad and graduate student here. But when I got out of school, Richard Nixon was president, and all of those programs were gone, but there was a lot of money under the Clean Water Act that had just been released for regional water quality planning. And so I adapted what I learned in graduate school really to water quality planning and a lot of public involvement. And as I learned more, I realized this was an important way to change society.
This is 89.1 WEMU's Issues of the Environment, and we're concluding our Women's History Month series by talking with former Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner Janice Bobrin. You first won election as a County Drain Commissioner in 1988, a position that became Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner. You continued to win until such time you made the decision to step away in 2012. As you stepped into that role, you decided that what the role should be needed to be expanded. How did you carry forth a vision at a time when perhaps people weren't thinking quite the same way you did?
Well, David, I ran for the office because I saw it as a place that could be the focus of water quality protection programs. And I had been active in politics in Washtenaw County and in Ann Arbor, and I knew what people valued. And the environment was way high on the list. So I didn't think it would be a tough sell to expand the vision of the office to be a champion for water quality, for protecting our local rivers, streams, and lakes. What we do on the land really determines the quality of our local waterways. I mentioned Peggy Johnson earlier. She had a quote that I've always loved, that a river is the story of the land through which it flows. So we are all responsible for the quality of our local waterways, from land use planning and construction to how we manage the landscapes around our houses. It all makes a difference. I was in a community that really could hear that message and act on it.
And that is important, time and place. This was the right community at the right time to push forward those innovative ideas, right?
Yep, it was. And just to give you some idea of how little programs have great outcomes, we started a program called Adopt a Stream, and now the Watershed Council, Huron River Watershed Council, is the owner of that program and have done amazing things with it. But when we started the program in my office, for the first time, people began to really look at local creeks and take ownership and care about them and go talk to their city councils about what was happening. And two great examples, a group adopted Fleming Creek, and this group not only convinced their local governments to adopt a wetlands protection ordinance, that was amazing back in the early 90s, but then they ran for office. And Mike Moran, John Allison put together a slate of environmentalists who have taken charge of Ann Arbor Township since the mid-90s. So that came out of adopting a stream. The other thing that came out of adopting the stream I went to meet with a group of preschoolers who were planting trees by Mallets Creek, and one of those preschoolers was Yusuf Rabi.
Oh, wow.
So,
current state representative, right.
When people really got out into on the land and by the water and realized they were responsible for protecting it, I think that just was a tremendous force for good in this county.
We're talking with former Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner Janice Bobrin on 89.1 WEMU's final Women's History Month edition of Issues of the Environment. Along the way, Janice, you have mentored any number of people and joined forces with some of the women who today are helping reshape our environmental future. Lisa Wozniak with the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, Laura Rubin First, and now Rebecca Esselman at the Huron River Watershed Council. How do you feel about the current and the future generations of women that will carry forward the path you helped forge?
Wow. You know, you mentioned women who I'm in awe of. I'm privileged to be on the board of Michigan League of Conservation Voters and just stepped down as president, so I have a great chance to work with Lisa Wozniak, who is a visionary and is recognized as such across the country. We have maybe the strongest League of Conservation Voters in the country, and that's attributable to Lisa. One of my claim to fame is that I hired Laura Rubin, and I'll always say
good
if I
choice.
Did nothing else for the environment in my entire career, that would be enough. So Laura took a little watershed council and turned it into, again, a nationally recognized force for water quality protection, stewardship, public involvement. Rebecca's following in her footsteps and is going to be just an exciting and great leader. These are people who really recognize that the environment is about way more than protecting natural resources. It's about social justice and environmental justice. I mean, there's so much emphasis on inclusion, and we all know that communities of color, less wealthy communities, are far more impacted by negative environmental conditions, and they need to be part of the process in a way that they haven't had the opportunity in the past.
You continue to serve on a number of boards and commissions, serving both environment and community. What does the future hold for Janice Bobrin?
Wow. I am just so lucky. If I could keep doing this kind of work, I will be just thrilled. And the other thing is what I've always done, which is really being active politically, because who gets elected, bottom line, determines what happens. Finding great candidates and working to support them is something that I hope I'll be doing forever. I'm just lucky to be able to continue that kind of work.
Thank you so much for the work you have done, continue to do, and thank you for making time for us today, Janice.
Oh, it's my pleasure, David. It's such an honor to join the group of remarkable women that you've been interviewing this month. I've really enjoyed listening.
That is Janice Bobrin, our guest on this final Women's History Month edition of Issues of the Environment. For more information on our conversation today and to access the rest of our Women's History Month features, just visit our website at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.